Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
What is up, guys? Welcome back to No Reserves Radio, Football Edition. We are here to kick off Season 2, which Alex just found out about literal days ago that we would be kicking off Season 2. So how do you feel?
Hey, what is up, guys? Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Just was a part of a few episodes in Season 1. Hoping to be a part of many more in Season 2 and to make this a good one for us and for all our listeners.
So I know you said you weren't part of many, but part of what we did to wrap up Season 1 was give some reminisce of all the things that happened over the course of Season 1. And actually, you were brought up at least once, and Ren really praised for how good you are at marketing and how much better our numbers have been since the football discourse, since the football show has started. So is there any thing you want to add to kind of close out Season 1?
I'm just really glad that you guys brought me in. I'm glad to be a part of this experience, of this ride. Marketing is close to my area of expertise. That's my field of studies, basically. I'm usually pretty entrenched in a few groups. I hope some of them are listening to us constantly. Just thank you guys. That's basically it.
Perfect. So, starting off Season 2, we are going to actually talk about the preseason today, and we are going to talk about some of the news around the NFL. One thing I will mention with the start of Season 2 is we have turned on most forms of monetization, so there's now going to be a donate button. Or there may even be ads, depending on when you're listening to this in the future. So, Season 2 comes with changes. But let's kick it off with a bit of the news today. Apparently, I'm going to start with the Diggs news. Stephen A. Smith reported that Diggs has grown tired of Buffalo and he no longer believes in them and that he is requesting a trade. I'm going to add that Diggs has responded to this and said that it's a nothing burger, that he doesn't know where Stephen A. Smith got those sources, and that it's basically bogus. So I kind of want to get your feelings on that, because usually when something comes out, someone wanted that to come out. And if that's not Diggs, who was it, do you think?
Yeah, I mean that's usually true. I mean, if we go back to last season, when they were eliminated from the playoffs, you could see that he was a bit mad at the whole team, and it's understandable. I mean, they have a lot of potential, they have a great QB, but the offense seems to just
they
lack
got
that.
Rocked by the Bengals. I loved watching that game.
Yeah, and they just seem to lack that last few stretches to actually make a championship game and so on. So I mean, yeah. Diggs is, I mean, it's, dude was pretty sentimental back in Minnesota as well. He has that will to win, and that's what drive them out of Minnesota. And I can understand. I mean, it was a tough loss back then, but I mean, I struggle to see it right now. I was actually on the camp that he might ask out, but Probably like early preseason, like before the draft or so on. Not right now. Right now, I don't see it. I think, I mean, someone wanted it out there, or maybe it was just to create the news. I mean, you know how those radio talk ads do, and those big media guys do to get all of that attention. You know that sometimes they can fabricate stuff, but I mean, if he's citing a source close to him told him. I mean, I don't know. I don't see the Bills doing that.
It has to be someone that bills for an office.
I mean, but why though? They have actually
Why
no
is
one
the
else
question?
besides Diggs.
Why is the definite question?
I don't know.
So,
Could Diggs be playing both sides though? Could that be it?
potentially.
Because I really don't see the Bills doing it because they lack other weapons around Josh Allen to actually move Diggs. But I mean, besides Diggs, I
Yep.
don't think anyone else could throw that news out there.
That's something I want to talk about. And this is probably going to annoy Ren because I know he hates the term, what is it, news broadcaster or sports broadcaster or something like that, but we're all that now. I think that, you know how last episode you said that, like, they're good in fantasy, so we think they're good in real life? I think a bit of that applies to Josh Allen. And I don't think, don't take this out of context. I think Josh Allen is a great quarterback, but he doesn't seem to have the same, like, mystique or same aura as Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
It's
and we alluded to that.
it seems like, and I don't, I would have to check stats, but it seems like he turns the ball over too much in those critical games as opposed to Burrow and as opposed to Mahomes. I would have to check the stats, but just from watching the games, his turnovers either feel way more impactful or way more devastating, or he does it more.
And it's also, I mean, we've talked about that when we talk about the QBs, and we both had like Burrow ahead of him because we feel like Burrow has that it factor, that aura, as you said, that all Allen to me doesn't. And I mean, there was a good article that I read like a few days ago from Warren Sharp, I believe, that mentioned like the differences between like two very explosive NFL offenses like the Chiefs and the Bills, and how one of them managed to have sustained success in the league, and the other just kind of seems to never achieve those preseason heights that they are touted to have. And the big differences that he spotted, it's because of the red zone efficiency. Like the Bills offense is incredibly like good in actually deep threat situation, deep passes, but like struggles really quite a bit in the red zone situation.
I have a theory, or I guess a concept of why that is. If you're done, I'll go into that.
Yeah, you can go.
So Patrick Mahomes is someone who is going to throw to get yardage. When the Bills get into the red zone, you see a lot more of design run plays to try to get Josh Allen to push it into the red zone. I think that might have something to do with it. Because, yes, you have to worry about Patrick Mahomes isn't a statue out there. You still have to worry about Patrick Mahomes moving. But Patrick Mahomes' threat to pass it and Andy Reid's schemes, like their running backs get a crap ton of targets in the red zone. That just doesn't happen with Buffalo. Buffalo's offense seems more stagnant. It seems like it's more read option with Josh Allen. And that's about it. Jump ball to Stephon Diggs. Like, it seems like Kansas City's offense, whether that be because of Andy Reid or because of all the weapons, or maybe that's just because what Josh Allen is versus what Patrick Mahomes is, that's probably why. Because Josh Allen doesn't throw it as much as Patrick Mahomes does. And he doesn't have the same angles. He doesn't have the same creativity as far as throwing goes. And yeah, Burrow has that to an extent, too.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday, good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Two.
Yeah, and I think like the big differences between the two is, as you said, it's like the differences in coaches. I mean, we cannot undermine how great Andy Reid is. It's probably like a top two coach in the league right now, and that's because I'm still giving a lot of credit to Bill Belichick. But I mean,
he's the best coach right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm just giving too much credit to Bill, and that is probably like number two coach in the league right now, and Andy Reid is probably the first. But I mean, it's just a gap in coaching, I believe, and that's what you see in the playoffs a lot. Yeah, I think it's the big gap between him and Sean McDermott. That's, I mean, Sean turned that team around, but still, I think the differences in coaching is massive, especially, and you don't notice a lot when it's in season, because the Bills are a pretty good team, and Allen is a pretty good QB. If not, it's an elite QB. I'm undermining him here.
Yeah, he is.
But I mean, when those playoff moments come, and like when the going gets tough, you just see who the really good coaches are, and you can just see the difference between a scheme that is built by Andy Reid and a scheme that is built like Sean. And you just know that like
my counterpoint
My counterpoint to that is.
You're still the quarterback, dude. If Josh Allen was that dude, maybe he should audible out of those calls into something that can work.
I mean, but we have seen countless times that the running game, although not super important, it's pretty important to have in the playoffs, especially like in those late stages of the playoffs, like having a successful run game. It's important, and I don't think Sean ever really managed to scheme that well, the run game. That's why they always seem to struggle.
I guess that's a difference in view, because there have been so many games where Zach Taylor will call something, and Joe Burrow will look at everything, and he'll look at the sideline, and he'll just call a timeout because he didn't like the look. You need to do things like that. It's both.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Allen sort of does that as well. I don't have the stats here to prove that, but from what I've seen, I think he also does that. But the difference is, like, they never sustain that run game. To me, that's one big difference between them, the Bengals, and the Chiefs. That's why the Bengals and the Chiefs are constantly going to those late stages, going to the Super Bowl. And, I mean, the Bills always fail in doing so. And I think it's been an emphasis this offseason. You could see from the reports with James Cook being used more and being used in different ways. They seem to really want to go with a more run-centric, and not just being Allen the running back, but being like having an actual run game, which they seem to lack the last few years. And I mean, maybe it changes this year with the emphasis in the run game. But to me, that's the real big differences between the Bills and the team like the Chiefs and the Bengals. Not only do I think Mahomes and Burrow has that aura to them that Josh doesn't, but I mean, there's also that coaching difference that I end up scheming. I mean, some coaches just aren't that good in some parts of the game, and I think it's one part that Sean really struggles in. And that's the main differences between those three teams to me.
I don't know, man. I know you said the running back game with the Bengals, but our offensive line has looked terrible the last few years. So maybe that's Joe Mixon. Maybe that's some scheming. But if you want to go who has the more talented roster, Kansas City or Buffalo, I think it's Buffalo. And if you want to go who has the more talented roster, Cincinnati or Buffalo, I still think it's Buffalo. There's no reason. I'm sorry. There is no excuse. Josh Allen does not have a Super Bowl appearance right now. There is none.
I'd make an argument that maybe the Cincinnati roster is better than the Buffalo offense. Their Buffalo roster.
Can you, though?
I mean, I think so. I mean, receiving wise, I think you have them beat. I mean,
Yep. Offensive line,
they're
they got
pretty
us
good.
beat.
Offensive line, but I don't think it's by that much. They clearly have you beat, but I don't think it's by that much.
Defensive
Run.
line, they have us.
I mean, do they
Secondary,
though?
they have us. They
Do
got
they have
Avon
Von
Miller.
Miller?
We don't.
I mean, you have a Trey
Trey
Hendrickson,
Henderson? Is
and
that what you're going to say? We have a Trey Henderson? Trey
I mean,
Henderson
yeah.
is good. Trey Henderson is not Von Miller.
But I mean, it's pretty good. And then you have on the other side, you also have a good edge.
Sam Hubbard.
Sam Hubbard, yeah. I just remembered like Shuba Hubbard. I knew it was Hubbard, but didn't remember the first name. Yeah, Sam Hubbard. And I
Yeah,
mean,
Sam Hubbard.
secondary wise, you took some hits this offseason. You lost both starting safeties.
Yes.
But I mean, I don't think it's that different
I think it
of a
is. They
roster.
have White. They have Poyer. They have. There's another safety I'm forgetting. Micah Hyde. Like, I'm sorry. Their secondary is
I mean,
better.
their
Our
linebacking core is
defense
currently
plays
worse.
better. Our defense plays a lot better than theirs. But on paper, it shouldn't.
Mean, that's coaching then.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah, I mean.
Right, that was a long first bit of the So, a second bit of the news is Josh Jacobs will reportedly head to Raiders camp before week one or at week one. He'll be there. That's basically what the news is. He'll be there for the start of the season. So, is this a no duh? Is this a you're glad?
I
How do you
mean,
feel about this?
I thought it was always like the rational choice. I mean, those guys in the 5th-year deal and the franchise tag and so on, they don't really have an incentive not to play because they won't get any money, they won't get a cent from their contracts, and I mean, the team can just franchise tag them again next year, so they really don't have an incentive to hold out. I mean, I thought it was always the answer, especially, I mean, if you're talking about $10-12 million, that's a lot for a season. And I mean, we saw running backs like Le'Veon Bell and so on holding out, and then clearly they didn't pan out. If the teams don't want a 25 or
I mean,
26-year-old running back, they
it
probably
panned
don't
out.
want a
He got
27.
paid. It panned out. He got paid. He just didn't perform after he got paid.
Yeah, I mean, didn't pan out for the rest of his career, and now teams are more sharp than the teams before were, especially like that Jets team. And I mean, if teams don't want to pay running backs right now when they're 25 or 26, they probably don't want to pay him when they're 27 and they didn't play for a year. So yeah, I think it was always like what was going to happen, and we'll see what happens next year, basically.
Do you think it's going to be the same situation with Jonathan Taylor? We're going to get a news break in the next week. Jonathan Taylor reports to camp ahead of week one.
I mean, yeah, I think Jonathan Taylor has been slated to travel with the team to the next preseason game as well. So I think he's on track. I didn't think he would play, but he seems to be on track too. So yeah,
Mean, wouldn't
maybe
the same
something there.
logic you have with Jacobs apply to Taylor, though?
Now, because of the difference in money, it would be my main guess. Because I mean, you're talking about like 4 to 5 million to Jonathan Taylor when and like most of it isn't guaranteed. It's based salary. Like four or so. And in Jacob's case, it was all guaranteed and it was like around 12. So, I mean, I always thought JT would held in basically, like claim an injury or so on, just avoid the NFI. Then maybe even if he goes on IR, it doesn't matter because the contract has run out and he can either sign a new contract or get a franchise tag. And at that point, it's the same 12, 13. So it's a no-brainer to play for that. It was mainly the difference in money, in my opinion, that made the situations that different. But yeah, it seems to be ready to play. So fooled me there.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
And the Colts are a bit better.
Than who?
I mean, the Colts are a bit better with him on the team.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, you can argue that for the Raiders. The Raiders are better with Josh Jacobs on the field, too.
I mean, of course, yeah. I agree as well.
So, that is just about it for the news, at least anything that I want to talk about. There is one thing on here that I see that kind of goes into the main topics, which, I mean, I guess we can talk about that, which is CBS Sports reporting that the Colts make the curious decision to not play Anthony Richardson. That's mostly because of additional joint practices. That's not anything to worry about, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think the coach or even Anthony Richardson mentioned it, but it was basically because he had like back-to-back practices, like full-on practices against the other team. So the legs were feeling a tad tired, so no point in risking his health. I do want to talk about another piece of news here, that it was the signing of Jadeveon Clowney by the Ravens, adding some depth to that edge rotation.
Nice.
I mean, yeah, I've never been a big Jadeveon Clowney fan, but he always seems to land his gigs at around $6-8 million a year. And I mean, he's making his money and he seems to get some good work in. And I mean, it helps the Ravens because they lost Justin Houston, who was a big veteran presence last year. And the edge room really had that many guys with NFL experience, like longtime vets. It was mostly Odafe Owe and David Ojabo. So yeah, it's a good signing by them, even though I'm not a big Clowney fan, but still, good signing for them.
It's definitely one they're going to need, especially competing in a tough AFC North.
Yeah, for sure. They need that experience. They also signed Ronald Darby in less of a big name, but I mean, after Humphries was sidelined for, I believe it will be like the first 3 or 4 weeks, if not mistaken, they needed that. So yeah, makes sense.
100%. So there was a quarterback you wanted to talk about. Who is that?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to talk about Hayden O'Connell, the Raiders QB, the backup Raiders QB. I mean,
he leads the league in quarterback rating in the preseason.
Yeah, he has been looking great. I mean, I've talked about him in other episodes. Really like them as a rookie. He's one of those like NFL-ready guys who are pretty old. I mean, he's 24. He played for Purdue, which was the same university as Brock Purdy played, if not mistaken. So, I mean, he's one of those sneaky guys who can, I mean, you know that Jimmy G is usually pretty injury prone. So I can see Aiden O'Connell, if having a chance, producing something close to what Purdy did. I really like him as a prospect. And I mean, the dude is like pretty NFL ready, in my opinion. He has a good arm. He just plays smart, doesn't try to do too much. And he has been having good showings in the preseason. So, yeah.
So this is how you know that the Raiders are... Do you think they debate starting O'Connell over Garoppolo?
No chance.
No,
okay. I mean, not right now. Maybe in case of an injury. Maybe if O'Connell comes in, plays well. Maybe then there's a debate. Or if the season is over, like around week 12 or so, I can see him playing the gameplay. But like right now, as things stand, I don't think he has a chance to start over Garoppolo.
So, speaking of someone you just mentioned, Brock Purdy, he came back. He looked pretty good, and the 49ers offense, like, Kyle Shanahan continues to show why that 49ers offense is just easy mode. There is just so many weapons. You can't defend them all. It's just ridiculous. Do you take anything into Brock Purdy starting that game over Trey Lance?
I mean, yeah, the Niners have been pretty adamant that Purdy is their starter. I mean, there's even a quote from Shanahan that states something like, Purdy is the starter. It's basically set in stone unless he completely melts in practice. And I mean, he hasn't shown any indication that he will. My prediction was always that Purdy would start the season as the starter of the 49ers and then maybe struggle a bit early on. And having Lance come in to pick up the slack, maybe having that chance to go all the way down the end of the season. But I mean, if Brady Kupp's playing like he played last year and like he played like this preseason game, I think it's pretty set that he will play the whole season as a starter. I mean, dude still looks good
I
even
mean,
after the UCL injury, so.
it's kind of hard. This is kind of so the more I've thought about your prediction, this is my problem with it. It has to be an injury because that offense is, like I said, it's easy mode. What scenario do you think that Brock Purdy won't perform while he has Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, and Debo Samuel? Like, what? And this also goes back to things I've said previously with quarterbacks. You have to have weapons around you. The San Francisco offense is a perfect offense for any young developing quarterback. That's why Brock Purdy is able, one of the reasons why Brock Purdy is able to thrive in it. And that's why it's a question mark when you don't see Trey Lance perform in it.
I
And
mean,
you don't see Trey Lance out there.
that's for sure. But I mean, my point with Purdy was always that he seemed to play like a bit more like a risk taker last season. And I saw a lot of plays where, I mean, the ball had pretty good chances of being intercepted, and just like by pure fate or so on or luck, it just didn't happen. So I think some of those could regress to a mean. I mean, he had 12 interceptable passes in 9 games played last year. He had 17 danger plays in 9 games played. I mean, there's some worry there, and that's basically it for me because I think he has some worries that maybe if those interceptable passes do end up intercepted, you're looking at a much worse stat line, and you're looking at some games that are probably lost in that, as you said, easy offense that should be like easy mode and shouldn't require a lot of actually quarterback ability. And if he opens the door up to Lance, I think Lance can maybe take it. So that's
Can
my
maybe
prediction.
take it?
I mean,
Can
yeah.
maybe take it? That's how Liskai was the number three overall pick that the San Francisco 49ers paid a ransom for. Can maybe
I mean, but it was a
take it?
bad pick. It was a bad pick in the end because I mean, Dudu has less passes throughout his whole career, like high school, college, pros, than Geno had last year. I mean, it's ridiculous. Dudu was really inexperienced. I didn't love the pick at the start. I thought it should have been Mac Jones. But I mean,
Mac Jones would have
yeah.
been an ugly pick there.
But I mean.
It would not have been a pretty pick at all.
Wouldn't he have been doing the same things that Brock Purdy did? I mean, he was like
Probably.
in the race for Rookie of the Year, Mac Jones. He had a pretty solid season for the Patriots. I mean, in this system with his
Until he had a
weapons.
defensive coordinator call and plays for him.
I mean, yeah, last season he had like Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. I mean, that's terrible, dude. And in here, I think he would have really strived. And, you know, all of the reports back then, it mentioned that Kyle was really into Mac, and it was basically a GM pick to take Lance. And I mean, GM picks, like, I mean, if it was any other team and Lance was picked where he was, the team would have gone downhill and everyone would have been fired. But I mean, it's the Niners, and they just meant. Do you see how many picks they squander and they're still this good as of a team? I mean,
Yeah.
it's incredible to be honest. A bit maddening when you're a division rival, as I am a Seahawks fan.
Because here's the thing. They generally understand, even if you squander a pick, their development process and their scouting is so good that they'll hit a pick later. Yeah, they squandered Trey Lance. But they also got Brock Purdy in that draft, and he's currently starting for them. So, I mean, yeah, but the bones is there. That's the thing. The offensive line for the 49ers, great. The defensive line for the 49ers, headed by Nick Bosa, great. Like, it's really easy to get things right when both the offensive line and the defensive line are together, and combine that with the fact that they have like weapons that make you feel like you or I could be quarterback of the 49ers right now. Yeah, like
Yeah, Bosa is still holding out though, I believe.
Is he?
Yeah, he's waiting for the new deal. I
That's
mean,
fair.
from Shanahan's talk, it didn't seem like that big of a deal, and that the deal was pretty close. But still, he still only got. I mean, to me, it's just that Purdy is a pretty big risk taker, and that it maybe can fall on the other end, and some of those picks might have been intercepted this year, and maybe that opens the door for Lance. But that's just basically my point. I don't think. Like, if Purdy plays well, I don't think Lance has a chance when he gets traded next season. I mean, yeah, I still think they can get like a second or a third for him. There's potential there, and I think the league still likes him. And you know, there's some head coaches that they want to be the guy who saved the guy, basically, who saved that like early round pick of QB. That's why Sam Darnold was still traded for as much as he was when he left the Jets. But yeah, if Purdy plays as he has been playing in preseason, yeah, he's the starter all season, and I think the Niners do better than I have them in my predictions. So yeah.
I mean, I have the Niners going 11-6 with the Seahawks. So, I definitely don't sneeze in on them. So, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure. So, a few games that I want to talk about during the preseason. Or actually, no. I still need to talk about what I want to talk about, the quarterback. So, Alex, have you seen Russell Wilson?
I have.
He looks. I'm not usually one to say, oh, this guy, he looks different. Like, you can see it with your eyes. And he has performed good in the limited time that Sean Payton has put him out there. I'm starting to think it might be wheels up for the Denver offense.
I mean, I'm not sure though. Is it? I mean,
Is it?
he looked decent versus the Niners. I don't think he looked that great in my opinion. I think he looked decent. And I mean, in practice, he still has struggled somewhat. I mean, I believe the reports from practice were some interceptions and sluggishness by the offense in the 2 minute and red zone drills in early camp. So, I mean, I still think there's something wrong with Russ. It wasn't just Hackett. I think there's still something wrong there, and that I still don't trust their wide receiver room and their receiving room in general.
So you don't trust, because I don't think their weapons aren't as bad as people make them out to be. I think that Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton, apparently Greg Dulcich has been amazing in camp, and the combination of Samaje Perine and Javonte Williams is that's not a bad offensive core. I'd argue that's better than Buffalo's core that we've talked about. Even if you take into consideration the difference between Stephon Diggs and Jerry Jeudy.
I mean, they are worlds apart. They're not even in the same realm of wide receiver to me. Like, Jerry Jeudy should not be in the same realm as Stephon Diggs.
Right, but then what else would you take? I if you're asking me Gabe Davis or Courtland Sutton, I'm taking Courtland Sutton.
What have we seen from Courtland Sutton besides that one great season, like when he was a rookie?
He didn't do too bad. You can
I
say
mean,
what
like.
you want. After they fired Hackett, that offense didn't look like as terrible as it did the first half of the season.
I
The
still think it's a
offense
bit
that we
rough.
lambast was under Nathaniel Hackett. Whether or not what Sean Payton said was right as far as a political and like a PR standpoint, was right about what he said.
Yeah, I mean, he was, but I still think it will bite him in the ass because I don't think he will be able to save for us right now. Sutton really wasn't good last year. They lost Tim Patrick again, which looked like the best wide receiver that they have. Sutton doesn't get open often. He isn't really that good in the 50-50 balls as he used to be, or we thought he would be coming out as a prospect. Jeudy has those drop issues. I like Marvin Mims, the rookie, but he's still a rookie. Greg Dulcich was injured last year, I believe, to end the season. I believe he tore something. I'm not sure if it was the ACL. And Javonte is coming back from the ACL as well. He looks ready, and looks like he
I'm
makes this.
concerned if he's ready. I there's a reason I said Samaje P. Ryan first, because I still believe that even though he did play, he didn't do any like extreme cuts in those games. I still think because he tore everything you could have basically torn, I still think that he's not 100% yet.
No, to be frank, Dulcich was an hamstring strain that finished this year, I believe.
Yeah. That's
But
not
yeah,
terrible. That's not what happened to
no,
Javonte
no, no,
Williams.
no, no. I had a mistake and ran another guy. But yeah, Javonte, I still from more reports that looks great. I won't
I
believe it
don't
until I
believe it.
see it in an
Yeah,
actual game as
exactly.
well. Because you just know that those guys usually take a lot of time to recover from said ACLs, even in the first year. From injury that you
He
it
didn't
usually
just
takes
tear his ACL. He tore like everything. He tore his ACL, he tore every kind of L you could tear. Every kind of ligament. Like I don't believe it. I don't believe that he is 100%. And if he tells you he's 100%, I think he's lying. There's no way. There is no I believe he could run, but I don't believe he's 100%.
yeah, I don't as well, but I mean. That's all of the reports that we are getting right now.
But I'm not a doctor, so and I'm not gonna try and
Yeah.
pretend to be a doctor, so
And I mean, from
who
all of the
knows?
doctors that I follow, the Twitter doctors that I follow,
The Twitter doctor.
yeah, it does seem like they are a bit flabbergasted by it as well. They didn't seem to think it was possible to be like as
But
good
that
as it
makes
appears
sense.
that he is.
Because even if you're not in the medical field, just as someone who is used to watching sports and used to hearing about and seeing injuries and, well, not seeing injuries, but hearing about injuries and seeing the recovery process as far as them not being there, it doesn't sound right. It doesn't feel right. It feels rushed.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I still don't trust that offense, to be frank. I don't know what you're seeing that you like so much, but I'm not a fan.
I guess I'm just higher on the Denver offense than you are.
You certainly are. I don't love Jeudy. I don't love Sutton. I still don't love Russell Wilson. I mean, I like
Because I was,
Samaje.
I sold them last year. I am not selling them this year.
Yeah, I mean, we sort of disagreed last year with the Broncos, but I still had them third in the division in our projections.
I'm
I
pretty
just
sure I
had them
had
with a
them
few.
last.
Yeah, I think so. I think I had them third, but it
Did
was
they
pretty
finish last?
close.
They finished
Yeah, they
last, didn't they?
finished last, yeah.
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 So who was
I
right
am.
about the Denver Broncos? Me!
Yeah, to be
Turnaround,
frank,
baby! Turnaround!
none of us expected how bad they were, though. You had them last, but
Me!
you didn't have them with
Me!
the top five
Hi!
pick.
Me! Hi! Over here! Yes,
You didn't
I
have them. You didn't have them as a top five pick, though.
did I have him as a top five pick?
You didn't.
Oh, I didn't?
No.
We didn't do
So we
projections
didn't.
last year. We did them this year.
Oh, but we shared those with each other. Yeah, I mean, I still don't buy the Broncos. You seem to be sold on them. I don't think Sean will
I'm
work his
sold.
magic here.
Like let's clarify what sold is. Sold is not winning the division. Sold is finishing above 500 or just below 500. That's what sold is in this case. But I do think the Denver offense will be better this year, miles, than it was last year. But I
I
still think
mean.
Kansas City is Kansas City. The Chargers are the Chargers, and the Raiders are going to be dumpster fire.
I mean, but last year it was a complete dumpster fire, though. It doesn't mean a lot to be better than last year in the Broncos case, because that offense was like probably the worst in the league or close to the worst in the league. So yeah, you're not taking a huge leap here going from like worst to second worst, for example, or
This
worst to
guy.
average. It's not like, I mean. I just don't think the Broncos will reach the hypes, the heights that they had when they traded for Wilson, in my opinion.
Oh no.
I think next season it will be one of those years where it's basically like Should we move on from Russ? Because it starts to be possible. I believe it's from either next year or the year after. It starts to become a possibility cap-wise. And I think it's a card on the table, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I believe in that. So we'll see. Let's talk about the Seahawks and the Cowboys. And Will Greer has had generally a good preseason, and your boy Drew Lock had a great game.
I mean, Drew Lock is him, I guess.
Drew Lock is him. Stop it.
I actually have this like wild theory that I think Pete will actually want him to be the guy who takes the reins from Geno. I think he will keep him as the backup to Geno because
Didn't you
Drew
say
Lock's
you
been
thought he was going to be the guy last year, though?
No, I said it was Geno. That's why I bought Geno in a few places as well for fantasy football
Oh,
because I thought
okay.
it would be Geno. But I mean, all of the reports seem to, and all of what I get from Pete is that he really seems to be in on Drew Lock and like making Drew Lock a thing. So I wouldn't even be shocked if he holds Drew Lock as the backup for like another season or two, and then maybe gives him a shot if they can't get Geno back or if they choose to like move on from Geno. I wouldn't actually be shocked if Drew Lock is the starting QB for the Seahawks in like 2 3 years, assuming Pete stays. And he had some talent coming out of college, just didn't pan out in the Broncos. But from all of the reports that I read back then, it also seems like he was a John Snyder guy. So wouldn't shock me.
So you think that the 4D chess move is not to draft a quarterback, it's to make Drew Lock a quarterback?
Yes, sir.
That's insane.
Wouldn't you say it was insane to make Geno Smith a QB and not draft a QB?
Yeah, no, that was also insane too. But here's the thing. The Seahawks didn't have a top five pick, if I'm not mistaken, before Geno had his season.
They had a top
Geno,
10.
huh?
They had a top 10. I think it was the 9th pick overall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm
They
trying to
drafted
remember that
Charles
draft.
Cross.
They drafted who? Say it again.
Charles Cross, the
Oh,
tackle, I
yeah, the
believe.
tackle. The tackle. Yep. Which they kind of had to. They kind of had to invest in the offensive line.
Just as
But
soon as we
regardless,
love.
Will Greer, Jalen Tolbert. Remember Jalen Tolbert?
Yeah, Jalen Herbert Renaissance coming.
Yeah, he was a thing last year. They thought, there's no one else on this Cowboys team that can get receptions. Tolbert has to be the guy. Well, Tolbert got some stats in the preseason: 4 receptions, 66 yards. He seemed like to be at least Will Greer's guy.
They did lose the rookie linebacker, the Marvion Overshawn, which was a prospect that I really liked. I thought he would make an impact in this defense, and unfortunately, he tore his ACL, I believe. So, unfortunate news for him.
Going over to the Bengals Falcons. Wow, the Falcons offense looks pretty good.
Maybe we underestimated them.
No.
Nope.
No, I'm sorry. But maybe we underestimate Tyler Heineke. Desmond Ridder, 7 for 9, 80 yards with an interception. So they actually did start their starting quarterback. Bijan got a ridiculous carry, but he finished 4 for 20. And Taylor Heineke played most of the games. I still think there's no way that Desmond Ridder carries all these weapons that the Falcons have to relevancy, either in fantasy or in a real life NFL offense.
To be frank, it looks a bit better than I expected, but I still think Tyler Heinicke will play quite a few games. But yeah, it seems like at least he threw some halfway decent targets to Pitts. It was one of the better Pitts targets that I saw, and it's saying a lot because it was like pretty messed up ball. But I mean, he still seems to be peppering Drake London with targets, so I think the offense will be better than we are giving him credit for. I think it will be a decent offense. As I said, pretty run-heavy. But I think the passing game might be better than I was expecting, to be honest.
My I guess my NFC team for now, this year at least, the New Orleans Saints beat the Chargers.
That Kendra, game shouldn't have happened.
That game shouldn't have happened.
I mean, it was a tropical storm and an earthquake. Why are you putting the players down there? They played like two practices already. Just like abandon the game. Jesus.
It looks like the Chargers did. Easton Stick took every single snap from quarterback. He was their leading rusher. So they kind of did say, you know, everyone of importance, get out of here.
Did you see how many penalties the Saints took, though?
No, but I can look at team stats right here. And
I can tell you it was 14 penalties for 141 yards.
14 penalties?
Yeah, it's insane, dude. And it also happened the week prior. I mean, the coach Dennis Allen has told us it needs to be fixed. It needs to be fixed, but still, that's an insane number of penalties.
It's fine. Wheels up. Wheels up, Saints, baby.
Jack Haner is kind of like my number two to Aiden O'Connell as the sneaky QBs who could see some play. Just keep an eye out for Jack Haner.
Let's see. Colts. Patriots beat Packers. Zappy took 22 snaps.
Didn't they abandon the game as well because of the DB that went down? Was rushed to the hospital and so on?
Yeah, I believe they did. Yeah, there was no scoring in the fourth, so at least on here. So yeah,
I believe they abandoned the game. I do think the DB is now out of...
That's really concerning how, you know, we've gone from, you know, what feels like our whole lives not having to, you know, end games prematurely because someone's life is on the line to now having that happen in two instances. I think that's really concerning, and the NFL should really look into the player's safety and it, something. Maybe they're freak accidents, I don't know, but it's really concerning that, you know, people who are performing on the field shouldn't have to worry about their lives on a football field. That's just how I feel.
Yeah. Isaiah Bolton was his name. Just wanted to mention it.
Thank you.
But yeah, really seems, I mean, scary scenes back there.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately as well.
Yeah, fortunate that he's fine now. Yes. Or he's receptive
now. Doing better.
Yes. Let's see.
Did you see the Chiefs Cardinals game?
No, I did not. Oh my god, the Chiefs put the hurt on him. Bro, the Cardinals are gonna be bad. I know this is just preseason, but the Cardinals are going to be really, really bad.
Shout out to Isaiah Simmons, who keeps being experimented in like 100 different positions and still sucks in all of them. So
and still sucks in all of them.
Mad props to the dude. I mean, he looked like a massive weapon coming out of Clemson, being drafted top 10 overall. I mean, like one
in
of those
theory,
hybrid players.
He's 6'4 and he runs like a 4'4 something. So in theory,
I mean, it was a massive weapon coming out of Clemson. I mean, he was like one of those hybrid players who could play everywhere, but apparently can play well anywhere. So they have now started to playing him more as a safety or a dime. To mimic what he played like in Clemson, and it still went terrible in the preseason versus the Chiefs. So, really looks like a missed pick there.
Yeah,
the rookie though, Rashid Rice, for 96 yards.
Oh yeah, the receiver for Kansas City.
Yeah, looked pretty good. Another tied a bit of yak, so yards after the catch. He made a pretty good catch and then added some.
Oh, well, Patrick Mahomes took 15 step backs. I did not expect that.
Yeah. He played quite a bit in the first, like, two series or so.
Oh, my God. The Chiefs are just so freaking efficient. Outside of Patrick Mahomes, because I know, like, Patrick Mahomes is probably out there trying different stuff. Their backups had two incompletions. Like, there were two attempts from their backup quarterbacks that didn't result in a completion of some kind.
Yeah, but I
That's
mean,
crazy.
we see that. We see that whenever Pettis has gone down, like it was Pat Ennie, I believe, the backup. And he also,
Yes.
well, he seems to perform well whenever Mahomes goes down. It really shows that that team is really built well, especially by coaching.
That is true. Let's see,
How
the
about
Bengals
the Steelers?
that's actually something. I don't know what we're going to do for a fantasy episode. I know originally we pitched the top five sneaky offenses. That's an offense that a lot of people seem to be like, this could be a good offense. This could be a good offense. I don't know. But they played good in this game, Kyle Allen versus Mitch Trubisky. But that could just be because Mitch Trubisky is a little bit better than Kyle Allen. But,
Could there maybe be some running back controversy, though?
oh, because of how good Jalen Warren's doing?
I mean, Jalen Warren is doing pretty well. Yeah, that
He only
massive
had one
run.
carry for 62 yards.
Yeah, for 62 yards.
Yeah, exactly. I think Jalen Warren is going to take away from some of the touches from Najee this year, a lot more than people think.
Yeah, and he was pretty effective last year in comparison to Najee. So I could really see something brewing here that it's closer to a 50-50 than people want to admit.
Oh,
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
I think the Steelers, I don't know how I feel about it. We'll talk about that in the fantasy portion if we do that today. But the Steelers offense, they do have a lot of weapons. I will say that.
You wanted to talk about the Bengals?
I was actually about to bring that up. Both Ohio teams, Thursday and Friday, tied with the Eagles and the Falcons. I mean, I'm not concerned with the Bengals anymore because it seems like Joe Burrow just has voodoo magic and just like
Yeah.
whatever he does works. So, I
Yeah.
mean, and it seems like the front office has found like this really good like mixing of continually drafting defensive backs to make the secondary really scary to a lot of teams. So I have faith the defense is going to be good. The offense is always going to be great. I'm not worried about the Bengals. I'm really not.
And he seems to be doing better. Than ever,
Yes.
basically. I think it was the report that I saw. Better than, like, at this stage of the off season, he's now better than he was in all of the previous off seasons, which is weird with the ankle injury. But he has been injured like pretty much every off season, so encouraging signs.
Yep. The Lions got the hurt put on them by the Jaguars. Let's see.
We thank Bigsby. Tank Bigsby looked pretty darn good.
Oh, look, Jamar Jefferson got some touches. But yes, Tank Bigsby did look really good for the Jaguars.
Doug
Let's see.
Peterson even mentioned that he will likely be a much bigger factor than they were expecting him to be, like around mid-season or so.
Oh,
So
I thought he was going to get receiving work
apparently
when.
the work is even more. That's what I
Really?
got from the quote, yeah. Will even be a bigger factor than they were expecting, so I don't
I mean,
know.
that could be cool. Tank Bisby is a very talented running back, so it could.
Also have that rookie QB with like a
Nathan Rourke.
pretty out, yeah, out there name. Always reminds me of Mickey Rourke, the actor. But yeah. That looks good, but apparently Doug Peterson has shut down the talks that he will be QB2. So seems like someone who they will either have to carry as running back as QB3, or maybe have to lose because I don't see him being able to stash him in the practice squad after the preseason showings.
Yeah. So let's see what else we got there. I think we've talked about generally most of the preseason games. Is there any particular team you want to talk about, just out of curiosity?
I mean, I just think the Titans. Apparently, Malik Willis has pretty firm grip on the backup QB job. Most, at least, I expected it to
Man.
be the rookie. Yeah,
I'm
Will
sorry,
Levis.
but But when you say Titans, all I hear is this. Like, the Titans are just a boring offense. They're just a boring offense to me. It's, let's get to Derrick Henry, Derrick Henry, Derrick Henry, Derrick Henry. Have you seen Derrick Henry enough? Like, it just feels like that, man.
I mean, if you want to jump to another Crickets offense, you can talk about Kyle Trask, who still seems to be...
Kyle Trask and the Bucks. We're going to talk about the Bucks now. Let's get back.
I mean, you're still on the heels of your guy, Baker Mayfield.
My guy? You think I think this team's going to be good?
I mean, you seem to like him pretty much. You seem to think like Mike Evans and that offense will be better than they will, than I think they will be. You seem to think like Baker Mayfield is some sort of, I don't know, genius or so what. I don't know. You seem to be pretty sold on them.
I think he'll take more risk than year like 22 Tom Brady, but that isn't saying much.
I don't know, man. Seems like Kyle Trask is making his case, and I mean,
he can make the case. The offense still has the weapons to facilitate. It's just they don't have a quarterback to facilitate said weapons. So,
I mean, if Kyle Trask beats Baker Mayfield, shouldn't you just retire though? It's probably for the better.
He's had a very interesting journey since his NFL career started.
Yeah, I remember all the hype back then. Didn't last long. And finally, just wanted to talk about my guy.
Your guy.
And one of the teams that I don't think will be as bad as you think they will be. But the Indianapolis Colts.
They're going to be tragic.
Josh Downs, two targets. Yeah, he's making his case to be the leading slot receiver there.
Stop it.
I don't know, man. Seems like they have JT back. AR is the starter. I don't know. Seems like it could be a team that surprises you.
Here's what they're worried about with their slot wide receiver, the Indianapolis Colts. Are you ready?
Yes.
Can you block when JT rolls out?
They can.
That's what because I just don't see the offense has to get better. I get that, but and the defense is going to get better, but I don't know. Is JT back? By the way, you said JT was back. I don't think I've heard a report that he's back.
It seems like he will be back. I believe the latest report that I heard was that he was going to travel with the team for the last preseason game.
If he's back, I don't think there'll be a dumpster fire, but I still don't think they'll be great.
Yeah, it will be JT to travel with the Colts to Philadelphia. The Indianapolis Colts running back Jonathan Taylor will travel with the team ahead of their preseason game with the Eagles. So,
fair.
He remains on the PUP, but apparently it's still because of that ankle injury, but he appears to be okay to play. Doesn't seem like he will hold out.
So how do you feel about this, where it seems a lot more common? And granted, this was more because of having dual practices. But how do you feel about the NFL teams starting their starters less and less as the years are going on? Because it started, if I'm not mistaken, with Sean McVay, who basically sat all his starters for an entire preseason, two or three preseasons ago. And now we see it a lot more commonly now. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I think it makes sense. The coaches want to keep their guys healthy. And with the amount of practices, like game practices, type of practices that they run against other teams, they get pretty much the same experience and probably run at less of a risk of injury. So you don't really need to have your starters playing as much in the preseason games. I do think we could see a pretty good amount of starters playing in the last preseason game, just to get those like that rotation going, especially because then you will have a week off basically before the start of the season. So I think it makes sense. But yeah, it's natural. You just don't want to risk your guys, especially your best guys, as rosters get tighter and tighter. There's really no point in doing so, and it can really hurt your whole season.
Yeah, I generally agree. I know that the argument would be, as a fan, you want to see the best players on the field, but at the same time, you want your best players on the field for when games actually and records actually start mattering.
Yeah, as a product, it loses some of the appeal. I haven't watched as many preseason games this year as I watched the years prior.
No.
But I mean, if the NFL wants a better product, they probably have to open end of something there. Maybe give an extra week of rest or so on. But without those changes, I don't really see a point in the teams, like in their coaches, or, like throwing their guys out there to the wolves. So it's natural, but I mean, I think it could change, especially if the viewership is down for these games. I could see the NFL making changes in the schedules, adding either an extra week of rest or just shortening the preseason. Wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me as much either. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm okay with the preseason being like, hey, let's showcase the backups on the NFL teams. Because honestly, those players deserve playing time and ability to showcase their skills too and make their cases for being, whatever bench spots or, maybe in some cases even starters. But I
And
think it's a good thing.
you have cases of that happening from time to time. I mean, we have talked about Aiden O'Connell, who looked pretty good so far in the preseason, and is benefiting from that extra playing time. We have seen,
I'm not mistaken, Brock Purdy had a good preseason last season.
Brock Purdy as well. And I mean, you kind of see it all the time with those guys. I believe it was like defensive players, especially. You see a lot of those defensive guys like taking a step forward in the preseason with the extra playing time. I mean, they make a name for themselves, they get recognition, and even if they don't make the team, they at least have tape to show to other teams to make their case to for the roster spot. So yeah, it's beneficial for those players. It's not hyper beneficial for the product, so that's why I think some changes might be coming, I believe. But that depends on the viewership. I mean, that's our take. And if the viewership isn't there, then it's changes because money talks, basically.
I understand that, but football also isn't like basketball or baseball in the sense that, there's another game in a few days. Football is 18 games, and if regardless of, the players on the field, if it's a preseason game, you see the logos that you like, you're going to tune in.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to regular season, really doesn't matter. The NFL will still be king. It has sort of always been king. So when regular season comes, this is basically a moot point. But you just know that they like the audience at all times. They like to be the kings every time, basically. Because I mean, you could see like the drafts and so on usually do better numbers than most other sports events. And it's not even actual football. It's just like events that they run. You don't see, for example, the lottery doing numbers anything close, or even the NBA draft doing numbers anything closer to what like the NFL draft does.
I think we have to also show some appreciation to that. Think about the absolutely niche things that you can be a part of being a fan of football. Regardless of if you can make prop bets, you can bet on games, you can, if you want to delve into fantasy, there's daily fantasy, there's dynasty, there's redraft, there's literally a fantasy league for high school for people coming out of high school into college. Like that's really niche. The fact that those things can be supported just is an example of how big the NFL is.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a marketing effort in the end, and it's just a continuous work that has been done by plenty of commissioners over the years, that the NBA apparently hasn't been able to. Like, for example, like I watch the NBA from time to time, but I don't follow them as nearly as much as I follow the NFL,
I
and
wonder
that's
why
like,
that is. Why is that? As someone from Portugal,
I
someone who
mean,
is international, because
perfect.
when you think about international, I think about NBA before I think about NFL.
And I would say that's accurate for most folks. In my case, in specific, it's just a lot of games in the NBA. You have 81 or 80 games right now.
82.
82 games, yeah. 82 games. I mean, some of them quite literally don't seem to matter. I follow them for betting mostly because, for example, the betting markets here in Portugal are very heavily leaned towards the basketball and the NBA. I basically don't have much of a choice NFL-wise. And the games being like 82 games instead of the 18 games that you have in the NFL. In the NFL, it seems like every game counts, basically. And in the NBA, it seems like a lot of games don't. And you see, even from teams tell you that by resting their guys and so on, which you don't often see in the NFL, unless
That's
it's
fair.
like last week of the season. So to me, it's every game is much more impactful, so it has that sense of can't be missed. Well, with the NBA, I mean, I feel like I can miss games and watch the highlights because some games also start quite late. The games like from the West Coast and so on.
Yes, the Lakers games start particularly late for
I
you.
mean, sometimes I have to wake up, like, for example, if I wake up at like 6 a.m., there's games finishing at around that time. So it's insane. Well, the NFL, even the games that start late, they don't start like super late. They don't start at 3 a.m. my time. They start at like 1, and I can at least catch the first half. And if it's a really good game that I really want to see, I'll make the extra effort to watch it all the way to the end, which doesn't really happen often in the NBA, especially for those like the West Coast games. I can't even be asked to stay up
I
because I
can't
just
even.
don't. Yeah, because I won't be up until like 6 a.m. when I have to wake up most of the times at around 8, sometimes at 6, so I basically won't sleep. Yeah, so
Here's
it's a
another good
sense of
point
urgency.
for, and this is why I think the NFL marketing maybe isn't as good as, at least internationally, is as good as the NBA's, is the time frames of games. So where I am, NFL, most NFL games start at around 1 o'clock. That's like 6 o'clock for you.
Yes.
So the games start in a more accessible time, essentially everywhere.
Yes. Well,
So.
the NBA, apart from like weekends and so on, usually doesn't start until like 8, 9 my time. That's on the weekends. On the weekdays, it rarely starts before midnight. And
That's
if
very
you have like
interesting.
a whole slate of games throughout the week, I'm of course not going to be able to keep up with all of them, especially like in simultaneously. And they also seem to miss like that, like one of the great inventions of the NFL was the NFL Red Zone. It's like it's one of the big pluses, and the NBA doesn't seem to have something like that, especially
But how
because
can you
like,
have that? How can
yeah,
you have that in
that's
the NBA? Because in the
yeah.
NFL, it's like you get to a destination. In the NBA, that destination is there every single play. You can't be like, okay, LeBron James is within 10 meters of the hoop. That's not going to work. He's always within 10 meters of the hoop.
Yeah, that would be my point because like I think it's impossible for the NFL to have a to the NBA to have a similar product, but
Yeah.
it's one of the big pluses of the NFL. And apart from like watching my team or so on, I always have it on the Red Zone. And as I said, there's a much more sense of urgency. The starting times seem to be better, and I don't know. I think overall in Portugal, I think especially because we have a Portuguese NBA player. Which is with the Kings, I believe. He played with the G League team. It is Namias Keta. And he played with the G League Kings, and now he's gonna play with the starting with the like prime principal team, the actual Kings, not the G League
He's gonna
affiliate.
make the roster. Yeah.
I believe so. I believe so. Yeah. So of course there's that like big jump towards starting to watch the NFL more and more because there's one of ours in there. Which isn't the case with the NFL, so I think you have lesser numbers for the NFL, but I just think it's more enjoyable, at least to me, and to a few more black guys that I know. They seem to be more into the NFL than the NBA. To me, it's just those points. It's the sense of urgency, the better times to start, and especially to end. Like ending at 6 a.m. to me, it's unfathomable. So yeah, those are probably it. I like the NBA. I don't like it nearly as much. Also, like the games, they seem to be a bit longer. The NBA games. And there's like some really bad parts because of the subs and so on that happens. While with the NFL, you always have the starters on, basically, especially not when it's a blowout or so on. But for most of the games, you always have the starters on. While with the NBA, you have those periods where the subs rotate in. So, yeah, I think those are basically my main points why I prefer the NFL.
And that's fair. That's an interesting discussion to talk about the
Yeah,
differences.
should reinforce though that the NBA is probably king in Portugal of the American sports.
But
So this is just my scenario.
right, that's your scenario. But that's also another thing that it's harder to get good overseas talent to come to the NFL because I don't, is there even football out there? There is basketball. And that's the thing. You guys can play basketball from a young age. Can you play American football?
I don't think you can play American football at a young age, but there is an American football league here in Portugal. It's fairly recent. It has less than 20 years, I believe. I believe it has around 15, if not mistaken. It's very niche, I would think. I don't usually follow it a lot, but some of our commentators here in Portugal usually train the teams and are involved with the team somewhat. So, and I think it's starting to take off a bit more in Portugal because now you have some extra content. Yeah, because the network that acquired like the rights to transmit it, is investing much more in it. So they are making like podcasts about it. They are like doing a lot more on Twitter and so on to reach like the younger audiences and telling them that there's the games there. They are also dynamite like showing off the Portuguese league and so on. So I think you could really see a takeoff here in Portugal as well. Wouldn't shock me if you have like a talent or two that start to really make waves and maybe find their way into the NFL as the NFL like broadens their international program. So I
And I
think
think that's the key. The representation is the key. Having the players from the others.
I think it's a developing scene here. It's still not at its peak. But I think it can get there because the network that now transmits the league is doing much more than the previous network, in my opinion.
And that is how the NFL plans on expanding. Okay. So I think that's good for this episode. If you have gotten this far, thank you so much. Welcome to season two. I am not really surprised that we got here, but I am happy that we're here. We're not to the destination that I think all of us want to be, but we're on the road. And sometimes you just got to enjoy the journey, you know what I mean? So if you haven't, check out the basketball podcast that drops every Sunday. There will be a donation box that you can click now if that tickles your fancy. Austin is doing the socials, and you guys generally know what to do. Subscribe, check our stuff out. Thank you guys so much for listening, and have a wonderful day. Alex, you
Have
want
a
to sign
good
us
one,
off?
guys.
There you
Have a
go,
good one,
buddy.
guys.
There you go, buddy.